travel a lot. Do you have a house?
My father provides everything I need.
Is your father rich?
Did Abigail tell you to ask me that?
No.
That is a question for another time.
What's your favorite food?
Oh, Joshua the Brave speaks. I like so many different foods, but I especially love bread for many reasons. How are those spoons coming along, girls? Good? String, is it tight?
Yep.
Almost? Okay. So tell me, do you all know how to pray the Shema?
Yes.
Oh, I would love to hear it. You lead us.
Hear Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And it shall come to pass if you surely listen to the commandments I command you today, that you may gather in your grain, your wine, and your oil.
All right. Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome. So good to have you here. That's a clip from The Chosen. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. I just want to welcome you. I want to welcome everyone online that's joining us on Facebook or our website or watching afterwards. We're so glad you're here as well. We are doing a linked weekend. You're like, what's a linked weekend? Well, you don't know because we've never done it before. So let me explain it. We really value being an intergenerational church. It's one of our core values. Hopefully you've heard us talk about that. And so this year, we are going to have three different intergenerational weekends where we focus on learning from each other. We truly believe we are best as a church when we are linked together and learning from one another. So later next month, we're going to have a weekend with our students led by Pastor Dan and the teen ministry. We're going to hear from them and what's going on. Later this year, we're going to have a senior weekend. We've got some cool stuff planned for that. We have an awesome senior crowd here. But this weekend, we are starting with children's ministry, and we could not think of anyone better to join us than to have Miss Leah Lennon, our children's ministry director, come and join me for this message. So you welcome Leah today. So Leah, give us the 30-second introduction to Leah. What do we need to know?
Oh man, like I always struggle when it's like moments like these and they're like, try to, you know. It's like
summarize your life in 30 seconds.
Two truths and a lie type of a thing, you know. So I grew up in Buffalo, born and raised, so Bills Mafia for life. And I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a youth pastor, so I have always been at church. It has always just kind of been a part of my life and who I am. I went to Roberts Wesleyan College, which some of you know about, and graduated in 2019.
That's okay.
With the pandemic, it seems like it was like it was a lot farther away than it actually is. And children's ministry has been something that I've always been a part of, kind of, you know. With my dad being at church, it was just kind of like, I'm going to go, you know, hang out with the kids. So, and then kind of over time, that just grew into something that I knew I wanted to do for the rest of my life, was just pour into kids and kind of show them Jesus, which is kind of what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, awesome. I want to, just as an introduction and also as a story that kind of, I think, gives you a little insight on what it's like to work here. The week before Leah started, we were in the office, and Pastor Dan, you guys know Pastor Dan, right? He said, Leah Lennon, LL, LL Bean, let's call her Beans. And so when this nice young lady walked into the office, the very first time, a couple of us yelled out, Beans. And you stayed. You didn't leave. Like, I was a little worried that you're going to be like, what is this place? So that's what it's like to work at Northgate. Tell us why this video clip that we just used from The Chosen, why that is so meaningful to you.
Yeah, so I don't know how many of you have watched The Chosen. I know people have talked about it up here. If you haven't, I highly recommend watching it. But that specific clip, we had been talking about doing a children's ministry message and kind of what that would look like. And so when I saw that episode, I just kind of saw that moment specifically and went, if I could show the congregation, if I could show Northgate what I truly think Jesus sees when he sees our children, it would be that. It would be this, when they're praying and they're, you know, praying to God and they're praying to him, you just see the way that it affects him, and you see the way that he just really embraces what they're saying, and just you see how much he cares. And I think that that's kind of something that the church, not necessarily Northgate, but the whole church, sometimes they forget. You know, we just kind of look past children's ministry as this, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But you see through his reaction, you see in his face the way that he cares and the way that he loves them. And so that was just something that really struck me, and that's kind of why I wanted to show that clip, and we'll play another one later, but yeah.
Yeah, I think sometimes we think kids ministry is about keeping this room quiet for the message, right? And it's right. It's a lot more than that. It is a lot more than that, and that's part of what I appreciate about your heart for it. It's not just, okay, we're going to keep the kids out so you guys can pay attention. It is a lot more than that, and I think we think that, you think that, because it's a lot more to Jesus.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I feel like children just have this really uncanny ability to just kind of say yes. They just believe, and they don't really question it. They don't have that filter that we kind of process things through. So, you know, getting to know a little bit more about me in general, if you don't know already, I love Christmas. It's my favorite holiday season. I definitely go all out. Sometimes when I'm having a bad day, I'll just listen to Christmas music. So it's fine. But to quote a Christmas movie, Judy from The Santa Claus says, most adults can't believe in magic. It just grows out of them. And I'm not going to compare, you know, Christmas and all of that stuff. But I think the one thing that she really touches on is just that, like, we as adults sometimes have this, you know, we go into faith, we go into Christianity, and sometimes we go, okay, I don't really know. You know, we kind of have this worldly filter that we try to figure things out through. And kids, they just don't have that yet. They don't have that, like, you know, I don't really know. What are my friends saying? And so it's just kind of this really awesome gift and privilege that we have to kind of say, like, hey, this is Jesus. And not that, obviously, we're all going to have doubts. We're all going to have questions. We're not going to try and avoid that or not allow them to go through that, because I think it's important for us to go through that. But it's just this kind of, we get to see the way that they see Jesus through this lens. And it's really beautiful. I like to say that children equal simple love, because they don't ask much. You know, they're not just going to be like, you know, why do I love my mom? You know, they just do. They because of who you are. And so we just have that ability to look at them and be able to love the world in the way that they do, I guess, kind of is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so we have an ability to establish a foundation, and we'll talk more about foundations in a little bit, before that skepticism sets in. Right? And Reggie Joyner says something really great in a book that you shared about that.
Yeah, so he says in his book, A New Kind of Leader, every expert agrees that the first 18 years of a person's life are extremely crucial in laying a foundation for their future. And so that's kind of what I see Northgate kids doing, is we are laying that foundation. And we'll talk about kind of what that looks like later, but that's just kind of, it's an important factor in children's ministry that I think sometimes people kind of miss. Mm-hmm.
So share with us, the main point is the mission of our children's ministry program. Share that with us.
Yes, so the main point for today and the goal for our children's ministry is to cultivate an environment of belonging as we partner with parents and kids while striving to make Jesus the center and grow in our knowledge of and love for him.
That's great. So knowing that, how do we do, or why do we do what we do? Like, well, how do we, why is this important to you? Why should this be important to us?
Yeah, so So kind of you touched on it before, Northgate Kids is not just this side thing that we do on Sunday morning so that you can come in here and kind of have a quiet event, uneventful morning. That's a good thing, and we like that you can do that, but it's not just this like babysitting thing that we do, and it's not so that they can get all of this energy out before they go home with you in the afternoon. And we do try to get as much energy out as we can, and we'll play, you know, fun games, and we'll do a lot of, you know, cool stuff in the rooms, but it's not just as a distraction. You know, there's a purpose behind what we do, and why we do what we do. In Matthew 19:13-14, it says, then the people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So these couple of verses really elevate the status and the importance of children. And Jesus really himself is the one doing that. He's the one saying, no, like don't kind of shove them off to the side. They have a place, they have a purpose, and we want them to know that.
Yeah, that's good. Jesus constantly, he elevated the status and importance of children. That was such a big part of his ministry.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it gets lost because the status and importance of children in our society is a lot higher than it was then. But
right.
Jesus was really the pioneer of that in
right.
that time.
Yeah.
So what happens, what's the other side of that? What happens if we neglect children's ministry?
Yeah, so kind of what I think and what a lot of research has kind of said is the future of the church is at risk. So when we don't value and we don't see the importance of children, they don't feel like they have a place here at the church, which is kind of why in our mission statement and for the main point, we have a goal to create an environment of belonging, because if children feel like they don't have a place, they aren't going to want to stick around, kind of a thing. And so there was one book or an article that I was reading that was basically just kind of saying in some churches, it's just kind of aging out. Like they don't really have anyone to come in and continue the church because they don't see the importance and they're not investing in kids. And so there was one church specifically where they saw that was happening. And so they like invited kids to come in and be a part of the church, and it totally revitalized what was happening. And so when we neglect to see the importance of them, we're kind of neglecting the future of the church, and we're not really giving them a place to be in, a place to feel like they belong. And so another part of that is, and this is kind of a scary thing that I think, is 64% of young adults are leaving the church. And that to me is a really scary number. Like that's over 50%. So a majority of the kids that are here after they're done, they leave, you know? And so why are they doing that? And in a book I was reading, this quote by Dan Lavaglia says, the next generation is walking out the door because after the fun times fade away, they are left with nothing but shallow content and superficial community. And so, and I don't think that that's what Northgate is doing, but I just think that that's kind of, unfortunately, what some of the culture is in other churches, and sometimes why kids are leaving, because they don't have that place where they can come to ask questions, where they can come to have their doubts, you know. And then they also, you know, because they don't feel like they can come to a church because they don't feel like they belong, they go to other places and they find their belonging elsewhere. And that's not what we want for the kids.
Yeah, kids are always going to find a place they belong, right? Somewhere.
Right, right.
It's the question of where. We would love
right.
for it to be here in this
yeah.
community with other believers. So we're going to kind of shift as we look more at the foundation, and we have a second video clip before we do that.
Yeah.
I still don't understand. What is your reason for being here?
I'm telling you this because even though you are children and the elders in your life have lived longer, many times adults need the faith of children. And if you hold on to this faith, really tightly, someday soon, you will understand all of what I am saying to you. But you ask an important question, Abigail. What is my reason for being here? And the answer is for all of you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Isaiah.
I have loved spending this time with you. You are all so very special. And I hope that my next students ask the same questions you do, and that they listen to my answers. But I suspect they do not have the understanding you do. And I hope that when the time comes, they will tell others about me, like you have.
So there's really like three things that I love about that. One is he's kind of giving them, and the whole premise of this episode is just these kids kind of like hanging out with Jesus. And so they're just really getting this good one-on-one time with him. And so at the beginning of this clip, he says, "You will understand all the things that I'm telling you." So it's not necessarily that he's providing them with all of the answers right now, but it's as they get older, as they understand, they'll grasp what he's saying to them. The second part is the little boy understands what Jesus is quoting in that. He gets it. And I think that's just kind of those things where sometimes we're like, they don't understand what we're saying. But he does. He totally knows what they're saying. And then the third thing is he's talking about, so at this point in the season, in the episode, he hasn't called his disciples. It is before he does his ministry. And so really he's kind of revealing who he is to kids. So the way that they went about this in The Chosen is he kind of reveals to the kids before he reveals to anybody else that he's the Messiah. And so when he's talking about his next group of followers and hoping that they kind of are the same way that these kids are, but they probably won't be, you know, it's kind of him saying again, I see your importance. I see the way that you see me, and I hope that my next followers see me the way that you do.
That's good. And that's why this is so important, right? That's why we feel like all of this matters so much.
Yeah, so my big thing kind of with all of this, and why it's the title of this is called Foundations, is because I really feel so deeply that if we give kids an opportunity to have an authentic experience with Jesus and to grow, to truly love him, that when the storms come, they're not going to falter. So when they have those doubts, when they have those hard times, when they have those questions, instead of being like, oh gosh, you know, I don't know these things, they have these truths to hold on to that they can look back on. And I think for me, I feel it so strongly because as I kind of got older in my life, I realized that the foundations that I had built my faith on were not as solid as they could have been. And I think for me, growing up, it was a lot of, I don't want what would happen if I didn't follow Jesus, that the negative, the, you know, all of the kind of fear that was instilled in me as a kid, I was like, I don't want that. And so the way that I tried to follow after Jesus was purely out of fear, out of the things I didn't want to have happen, instead of out of his goodness and what he's done for me and the way that he loves me. And so I had to kind of reconstruct how I viewed him, and you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. And thankfully, I had people in my life to kind of help me with that. So at an older, you know, I was in college.
Can't be too old.
But, you know, for me, it wasn't this, like, as a kid, I was trying to rebuild this foundation. It was like I had kind of, that was how I had viewed this and how I had lived my relationship with Jesus, was out of this fear. And so that's exactly the opposite of what I want kids here to feel. Not that they can't, I mean, you know, rebuild foundations, we can all do it, but that they would just have this true understanding and this true knowledge of, like, this is who Jesus is. In Matthew 7, 24 through 27, it says, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." And that is what we are trying to avoid. That is what we don't want to have happen. And it's not all avoidable, but that is just, we so badly want these kids to have this foundation of who they know Jesus to be, truly, and not just this, not like a fake Jesus or a fear of Jesus, but just to truly know who he is and to truly have that love for him that will take them so that when the hard times come, when the doubts come, when the questions come, and we kind of have to, we sit back and we go, God, why is this happening? Why are you allowing these things to come into my life? And we have those, we all have those moments. It's unavoidable, but we can sit back and go, you know what, but he is good. He works things together for good. And those are the things that we hold on to as the hard times come and as they are there that carry us through. And then when we're out of them, we see how he sustained us in those ways instead of kind of crumbling under the things that happen. And we kind of sit in just that, you know, instead of fear, we sit in the love of Jesus.
Yeah, I think if we just load kids up with rules, with religion, that doesn't carry them through those storms.
Right.
You know, that doesn't. A relationship will carry you through. And I love that passage because the storm comes to both people. The storm
right.
comes to the one without a foundation. The storm comes to one with, which is, as you said, they're going to come.
Right.
The relationship is what carries us through that. If we just pile people on with rules, I mean, kids or adults, they're going to rebel against that, right? If there's no context of a relationship there, of a loving Jesus who genuinely cares about them,
right.
and that being the reason why he asks things of us.
Right. Yeah, I think for some of us, maybe all of us, you know, you kind of sit there and you're like, you know, why do we have to follow these, you know, like rules or whatever? But when you see that he does it for your good because he loves you, it's not just this like, I don't want you to have any fun. It's there's a reason behind why we have those in place. And so that's kind of, you know, one of the things that we try to instill in these kids as well, but also just to be able to experience that goodness. And Dr. Sue Gerhardt, in her book, Why Love Matters, says, "A child's brain is built up through actual experiences. What you put in is more or less what you get out." And so that's kind of, again, what we're trying to do is to give them these experiences to really get to know who Jesus is in a real and authentic way.
Yeah, that's good. So when you see the kids leaving, now sometimes I feel a sense of relief, but when you see them leaving, what do you feel? What do you want them to take with them when they're leaving here at the end of a Sunday?
Yeah, well, honestly, I hope they have fun. Honestly, we don't want it to be this like strict, you know, and we do. We play games. We have lesson videos. You know, we want it to be a place where they enjoy coming to. But more so, I want them to leave with a true and real love of Jesus, with a passion to want to get to know him more, to want to read the Gospels and be like, this is the person that I love. This is who I follow. And just really striving to make him the center, and growing, like our mission statement says, to grow in our knowledge of and love for him. Because I really think that when we fully know who Jesus is, when we really get to know him, we love him all the more because we know of what he's done and who he is. You know, it's not this like you get to know him and then you're like, I don't really know, you know, and he just continually proves himself to be this person that you want to give your life to, that you want to follow and that you want to be with. I think for me, the best way that I can really kind of equate it to is if you are in a dating or a marriage relationship, you would do anything for your spouse. If they were sick and they needed a kidney, you would hands down be like, take mine, you know? Or if they were, you know, I feel like we're being called to this place, you know, you sit down and you talk through it and you just kind of would do it without question. I feel like giving a kidney, you're just like, yes, if that's going to heal you, I will give you my kidney. I would give you my right arm, like anything to help you. And we have that type of relationship. But when it comes to Jesus, sometimes we'll hear him throughout our day going, hey, you know, I really think that you should go and pray with that person. I really feel like this is something that you should do. And he calls us to these little places and we kind of go, I don't know. I don't really know if I want to go and pray with that person. That's kind of uncomfortable. I don't really know. And so, you know, so that's kind of this like weird strain kind of that we have. And so when we are trying to build these foundations, we want our kids to have a true love for Jesus, that they're willing to do anything for him, that they're willing to risk things for him. And I don't know about you, I don't have kids, but I would hope that my kids would just be willing to say yes, you know, and then that's hard sometimes to say yes to Jesus, but ultimately it's because he's called us to places. And so when kids are leaving here, that's really just kind of the hope that I have for them, is that one, they're really gaining this love for him in a way that as they leave our rooms on Sunday, as they leave Northgate and enter the world someday, that they are truly in love and want to continue their love of Jesus and are willing to do anything for him.
So how do we hope to do all that? What's our goal in making all that happen?
Yeah, so that's a great question. The way we do that is through you guys, through parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles. The way that you can love on your kids in your circle is the best way, more than we can do. In Deuteronomy 6:6-7, it says, these commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And so that's just this, we get to talk about Jesus. We get to talk to our kids about who he is to us, you know, who he is. We all have different experiences with Jesus. The things that have happened to me are different than have happened to you and have happened to you. You know, we get to talk about that with our kids. And that's kind of like our job, really. And our job is to walk along with you as you talk to your kids about this. This isn't just like, hey, we're going to have them on Sunday and then good luck as you go out into the week. You know, that's not what we want to do. Our goal is to partner with you, to walk alongside of you as you do that, because it's not an easy task. It's not something that is just going to be like, woohoo, you know, we're going to do this and it's fun. And it's fun. But that's kind of how we hope to move forward and continue on these things, is just reinforcing what they are learning through you. We can only do so much on a Sunday morning. And there's a picture that we have up here where it's the number of hours that we have, yeah, comparatively to the hours that you have. So the way that we did this is we kind of guesstimated that out of a year, you guys are here like 40 weeks.
It's generous for some of you, but we wanted to, you know, show grace.
So let's say you're here 40 weekends a year. So we have 40 hours with your kids, comparatively to 5,110 hours that you have with your kids. And that is...
That's 14 hours a day, assuming they slept 10 hours a day, which some of you, that is a dream, but that's where we went with that.
So if we go with that, then we have 0.78% of the time with your kids. We cannot give them everything that they need while they're here. We cannot give them the information, all of the love that they need, everything to carry them through. We will try and we'll give them, you know, we have big ideas for the week and we have Bible passages that we like to do, but that's, I can't stop with us. I can't end with just what we do on Sunday mornings. That's not going to carry them through. And so that's why some of you get parent emails from me monthly, and that's not to be annoying or to have one extra email that you have to read. It is because we put tips in there. We say, hey, here's how you can worship with your kids at home. Here's how you can talk to your kids about whatever, fill in the blank. And so that's kind of why we do the things that we do. We have event nights. We had the flashlight scavenger hunt. I hope to do more. That was like because of the pandemic, we couldn't really do a lot. But I hope to do more. And those are so that we can continue those conversations, that we can continue and reinforce these things with the kids. We have a parent resource center that is currently not open, but I hope to have it reopened soon. And that is books on fatherhood and motherhood. It is pamphlets on how to talk to your kids about bullying, technology, a lot of things that are really hard conversations to have right now because this world is just crazy and it's changing all of the time. And so, you know, there's never just this one easy answer that we can give. So we have the books, we can get you devotionals, and we are hoping to and want to continue to do like parent nights. So I'll give you just a little taste. There's a need to know afterwards that'll fill you in. But you know, there's one coming up and we hope to do more because we want you to know we see you. We see the hard times that we're in, and that it's hard to parent right now, and we're not asking you to do this alone. We're not saying that we're not here for you through that. We're saying, hey, like, let us come alongside, let us partner with you as you partner with us and allowing us to invest into your kids, to trust us when we have volunteers in there, that we have placed them in there because we feel like they are the best people equipped to love your kids on Sunday mornings. We don't just like put random people in there. There are people that honestly, I'm like, can you just like come and like teach me things? Because they love these kids so much. They love being here on Sunday mornings. So it's not just you trusting us with your kids. It's then trusting us to help you through this time of life, you know? And it's not even just birth through fourth grade. It is middle school and high school and kids leading all the way up until they go into college and are hopefully still here, but maybe they find a different church or, you know, it's we just want you to know that you're not in this alone and that we're here for you. And just that we love your kids and we love to invest in them and we hope to show them Jesus and then hope to provide you with ways to continue to show them Jesus.
Excellent.
Yeah. So,
I wanted to clap. My iPad said no.
So that's our takeaway for today, is together we can point our children towards a lifelong love of Jesus. And that is so, so much what we hope to do here. The two things that I really hope is that you just see that it's together. It's not a one-sided thing. It's not just us. It's not just you. It's together we are going to do this. We can help point our kids to a lifelong love of Jesus. It's not just this, you know, once they're out of the kids' wing, once they're out of base. It is lifelong. It is from the time they enter our kids' wing until they are on their way to meet him. We just want them to have this idea of who he is, to love him so deeply, and to just continue that throughout their lives, that they are able to go and share with other people that they have this thing about them that draws others to know and want to know Jesus. And so, yeah, that's our goal. And so I will pray and close this out. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to talk about our kids and see them the way that you do and to be able to love them the way that you do, Lord. We just thank you for giving us the privilege to usher them to your feet, Lord, and to be able to guide them to know more about you and to love you. Lord, we just pray that for all of the kids that are here today, for the parents that are here today, that you will just be with them, that you will guide them along this path. You will allow them to feel your presence, Lord, and that you will just allow us to be able to walk this path together towards knowing you and to spread this with out into our community so that our community can get to know you as well, Lord. We thank you so much for who you are and what you've done for us. In your name, amen. Hey Northgate, thanks for joining us this weekend. Here's what you need to know. We are really excited to share with you that we are going to be having a parent night May 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. Childcare will be provided and you will need to register beforehand. What we're going to be talking about is something that I think the church needs to be talking about more, but it's kind of hard sometimes to talk about it. So kind of what we're going to be talking about is the birds and the bees.
We're going to talk about sex.
Dr. Joyce Wagner is going to be joining us, and she is going to be talking about how you have that conversation.
She's going to talk to you about how to talk to your kids about sex.
Dr. Carrie Starr is also going to be joining us. She is the author of Secret Shame and Marriage Adventures, and she is going to be talking to us about the shame culture in the church and kind of how that comes with talking about this topic.
She's going to talk to us about the shame culture around sex so that we can talk about sex.
Michael Hamilton is also going to be joining us. He is an investigator for the state troopers in the computer crime unit. And he's going to be talking about how sometimes there's things on the internet that you don't want to see and you definitely don't want your kids seeing it. So how do we help with that?
He's going to talk to us about how to keep our kids safe on the internet and away from pictures of sex.
We really hope that you join us on Thursday, May 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. This is open to parents of all ages, not just for children. So please register and we hope that you join us. So again, our takeaway for this is that together we can point our children towards a lifelong love of Jesus. So thank you so much for trusting us with your kids and for allowing us to walk alongside of you as we do this together.
Didn't she do a great job today? She genuinely loves Jesus, loves this church, and loves your children. So she said, thank you for the honor that it is to love them, care for them, to lead them to a lifelong love of Jesus. As you go today, go in the grace of God, in the love of Jesus, and in the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Thank you so much for being here. We'll be down front if you need someone to talk with or pray with. Have a great week, and we will see you next weekend.